Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call for company update of Dolat Industries Limited, hosted by Arihant Capital Markets. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dipali Kumari from Arihant Capital Markets. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Hello and good morning to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining into the company update conference call of Dolat Industries Limited. Today from the management, we have Mr. Ankit Gupta, President Marketing, and Mr. Ajay Patodia, sir, CFO. So without any further delay, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me immense pleasure to address you today at a truly transformational moment in the journey of Dolat Industries Limited. Over the last 5 decades, Dolat has grown from strength to strength and building a household brand trusted by millions of consumers across India and beyond. Today, I stand before you to share with pride and confidence the details of our proposed merger of the promoter group companies into Dolat Industries Limited, a move that we believe will be a game changer for the company and all its stakeholders. This merger has been carefully structured to create sustainable long-term value, enhance transparency, and strengthen governance, while also safeguarding the interests of every shareholder. Allow me to walk you through the transformational benefits this merger will bring. First, the Dolat brand will now be fully consolidated into Dolat Industries Limited. With the brand coming entirely under the listed entity, the value of the brand will be more deeply reflected in the company's financials, thereby enhancing both shareholder wealth and the intrinsic value of the organization. This consolidation will help us leverage the power of a single unified brand to strengthen our market leadership and expand our growth trajectory. Second, the merger will significantly reduce the compliance burden by integrating multiple promoter group companies into a listed entity. We simplify our structure, save on cost, and improve efficiency. A leaner and more transparent corporate structure will enable us to channel our focus and resources into growth and innovation. Third, we'll see a marked reduction in related party transactions. With fewer intercompany dealings, governance will become stronger, accountability clearer, and reporting more transparent. This will reinforce the confidence of regulators, investors, and all stakeholders in the integrity of our operations. Fourth, business properties currently held by other promoter entities and utilized by Dolat Industries Limited will now come directly under the ownership of the company. This integration will add significant strength to our balance sheet, ensuring that the assets of the business are fully aligned with the company's growth strategy. Fifth, it is important to highlight that promoter holding will increase by only 1.39%. That is from 72.21% to 73.6%. This minimal increase is a testament to the fairness and equitable nature of the proposed merger structure, and designed to protect and enhance shareholder interest without causing any undue imbalance. Sixth and most importantly, we are creating a promoter trust that will hold 51% of the promoter's stake in Dolat Industries Limited. This trust has been envisioned to ensure continuity, stability, and alignment of promoter interests with the long-term growth of the company. It underlines our commitment to building a future-ready governance framework that secures Dolat's legacy while empowering its growth in the decades to come. Ladies and gentlemen, this merger is not merely a corporate restructuring. It is a strategic consolidation that paves the way for stronger governance, sharper focus, enhanced value creation, and a clear growth roadmap for Dolat Industries Limited. As we move forward, we remain committed to our guiding principles of transparency, trust, and excellence, we firmly believe that this merger will mark the beginning of an exciting new chapter in our story, one that will deliver significant and sustainable value to all our stakeholders. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our investors, partners, employees, and customers for their unwavering trust and support. Together, we are building not just a stronger company, but a stronger brand and a stronger future. We now look forward to answering your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Yashovardhan Banka from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you speak a bit more on the industry and how is the demand currently?
So, industry-wide, the demand has been okay, I would say, but it's a seasonal thing since the monsoon season is a bit stretched this particular year. So, as it is, second quarter is not very good for the innerwear sales. So, overall, from the demand point of view, it's a cyclical thing. So, it's good as compared to the last.
Also, sir, are we planning to, you know, do fundraising moving ahead? Will we need funds for that?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
Are we planning to do any further fundraising moving ahead from there?
No further funding is required.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We'll take our next question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding our ad spends and how we think before investing, because if I see over the last 5 years, we have cumulatively invested close to 450 crores and that has yielded us 650 odd crores of revenue. So that is just 1.5 times for every rupee that we spend. So what has been the issue where for the past few years, and what gives us the confidence of maintaining and increasing this ad spends? And that should flow to our revenue or margins?
So earlier we used to peg our advertisement expenditures as a percentage of sales. But from past 3 to 4 years, we have been working on an absolute amount. That is, we have fixed our advertisement spend at 85 to 100 crores range. So this year also, we are planning to spend around 85 to 90 crores only in the advertisements.
And sir, how do we think before, like, how much should this yield on the ROI kind of a basis before doing these investments on any kind of ad spends, either digital or hiring any brand ambassador?
So, spending on advertisement does not guarantee you the sales, where you can actually calculate the ROI basis the traditional methods of advertisement. Like whenever you advertise on television or you put up a hoarding in the market, you can't really tell that it is because of that advertisement the sales are coming, or the exact ROI, you can't calculate that, right? But when you spend on digitally, you exactly know that what is the return that we are getting on every money that we are spending on digital media. So we have been monitoring that, and since social media advertisement, we spend around 20 to 25% of our total budget on digital media. So initially it was only focused on creating more and more awareness and hammering the consumers with the advertisement. But now we very recently we are planning to go ahead with the performance marketing and increasing the website sales as well.
Got it. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding the thermal segment. It seems that this year it's going to be harsher winter than expected. What percentage of our distributors have we currently been able to onboard on the thermal segment, or all our distributors currently have our thermal products on the stock?
So all the distributors of ours sell the thermal products, and we are very hopeful that it will be a good winter for us as well.
Got it. Sir, what would be the average selling price for the thermal segment, and where do we see thermal as a percentage of our revenue maybe in over the next 1 or 2 years?
So when talk about thermal segment, the overall the ASP is somewhere around 250 rupees.
Got it. And sir, as a percentage of revenue, where do we see this share increasing?
So currently, it contributes around 6% to our total sales. But it's very tough to actually comment on where we will be in next 1 or 2 years, because it's a seasonal product, and one cannot guarantee that every year the winters would be good and the summers would sell better. Like 2 years back, the winter was not good, and our thermal sales declined by around 30%. But last year we grew by 23%, and this year also we are eyeing that we'll be having a good growth in the thermal sales as well.
Got it. Sir, just a final question from mine. Sir, on a margin front, sir, are we still on track to do the 12-13% EBITDA margin for FY26, or can we see some improvement with improved demand trend on this number?
We are very hopeful, and we really aspire to be between 12-13% with this particular fiscal. And currently...
You were speaking something.
So currently, we are already at 11%. So, I think by year end, we should be able to touch 12%.
Got it. Sir, thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a follow-up question from the line of Yashovardhan Banka from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead. Mr. Banka,
you may go ahead. Am I audible now?
Yes.
So would you like to mention any quantifiable synergies, say overhead reductions, or you know, our working capital efficiency increasing post the merger in FY26?
Basically, after merger, there is no any this type of any working capital efficiency increase. But we have target for this year to reduce our working capital days for the current year. And the companies is merger are basically real estate companies, and the brand we take in our company. And two companies which is related to our job work. So there is no any such material impact on the working capital with respect to this. But basically... it increase our efficiency and control, and increase the intrinsic value of the shareholder. Like we take the brand value at book value only. So we thought it is very good for the all the stakeholder.
Understood. Thank you so much. That's all.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Garvita Jain from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. In continuation of the last question asked, I just want to have an estimate of the how much impact can we expect on the margin, positive impact because of the merger, and how much cost saving are we expecting because this was a real estate merger also. So we will have some saving on the rent paid, etc. So how much impact are we expecting on EBITDA margin due to merger?
Basically, Garvita ji, it is EBITDA neutral only. Actually, our total number of share increase only 5% of the total share, around 30 lakhs only, 29,80,000. And the saving in expenses are around also 4.5 to 5 crore only. Basically, royalty and rent is around 2.5 crore plus the related party transaction of 27-28 crore also removed from the after this exercise. So overall impact is on the PAT is 4.5 crore to 5 crore. So basically EPS is very neutral. Same EPS last year is 16.05. After this merger it is negligibly 16.01. Only 4 paisa impact. No more than that.
Okay, so you're saying in total 4 to 5 crore PAT impact will be there, right?
Yes, yes. But in long term we get the more benefit due to this. We get the saving and at our compliance front, we have our dollar brand in our company, and even after we launch new product, our royalties is not increased because brand is the company, and our RPT is reduced to the 90%, and basically control part of promoter family, because all the assets related to business assets of the dollar industry in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Long term view is very
benefit is the only focus here.
Long term view
okay.
Is very
so one more question. Got it. Thank you. One more question I want to ask, because like, is there any domestic price pressure we are expecting in the coming Diwali season or coming quarter due to more of like as a domestic sales?
Sorry, I didn't get your question. Sorry, can you repeat that, please?
Yes, so my question is, since we do not have any major export exposure, right? We are all domestic. So is there any pricing pressure we are expecting in the coming quarter because of the other competitors who are going to supply more domestic because of the tariff issues? That's what I want to understand.
Our exports is... only 4.5% to our total sales, around 4.5-5% only. So in domestic also we don't see any change in the pricing. It's very stagnant. Even the raw material prices are very stagnant, so we don't see any change in prices in upcoming quarters.
Okay. And sir, any change in the debt structure due to the merger?
No, negligible.
Okay. And if you could please tell me at what valuation the merger is done?
All the merger exercise is supervised and completed by the KPMG itself, and most of the assets are like brand value. Brand is our taken at book value only. It is only 5 crore. You can expect the how much multiples we can get the dollar brand only. And basically all the assets as per approach, three approach it will be considered by the KPMG, that is equity share exchange ratio and asset approach and market price method. And after approaching all the ratio and values, income approach, which is beneficial to the minority stake and the company is taken as the in the merger valuation.
Okay. And so are we expecting any saving on the labor cost due to this merger?
Any saving in the?
Labor cost.
Yes, labor cost ultimately if company is merged then you must save some part of the employee cost also, because then there is a basically compliance has removed, and many where you have to concise your employee cost also. So ultimately the effect is we seen in the long run that our employee cost is also reduced.
Any percentage that you could give me, sir?
Currently we are not studied that with regard to the employee cost, but it is okay. Ultimately
so there will be some saving in the employee cost in terms of that overlapping operations which are happening in so that will get optimized, but it would be a negligible impact. Like overall the financial impact is not that much as compared to the intangible benefits that we'll be getting out of this merger.
Okay, sir. All right, sir. That's all from me. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, kindly note, we are in a post-Q2 situation and phone want to about any quarterly numbers or guidance. Merger should be on the focus. We'll take our next question from the line of Divi Gosar from Geojit PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I wanted to understand, so we have bought in physical assets as well. So what would be the approximate market value of those physical assets?
Physical assets is more than 100 crores actually. The business property which is related to dollar, which only dedicated to dollar, is more than 100 crores.
The physical assets, matlab the property, right?
Property.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand that I am looking at the related party transactions of last year. So the purchase from promoter group was 38 crore, purchase of services from promoter group was 14 crore, and sales to promoter group was 6.7 crore. So now, can we expect all of these transactions to vanish when 31st March 2026 balance sheet comes out?
Basically, 90% of the related party transaction is vanished. Only there is, if you check the RPT personnel, there is one or two individual and one or two firm also. So that is remained intact only. Because in merger we cannot add the firms, only corporate can merge in the merger and amalgamation procedure.
Right. So, and how much is the net worth of these companies that are merging with us?
Total net worth of the company is more than 60-70 crores.
Okay. The book value.
Book value.
Right. And do these companies have any debt?
No, no debt. No debt.
Okay.
No debt,
okay.
No contingent liability, no any liability.
Great. So, and also, I mean, since we were hardly giving any royalty to begin with, and now, so there will be no saving per se on account of royalty, because anywhere royalty was minuscule, irrelevant. But now there is a 5% equity dilution. So now how do you, I mean, since this merger will be EPS reductive in a short term, so I mean, how should shareholders look at it from a short term point of view?
Even in short term, it is not reductive, it is EPS neutral. In earlier question also, I will specify that the actually pre-merger our EPS is 16.05 and per share, and after merger it is 16.01. That is only 4 paisa. Only 4 paisa. So and long term it is beneficial to the company, because intrinsic value of the company increased manifold.
Right. And last year, I can see that our receivables past due date doubled from 181 crore in FY24 to 298 crore in FY25. And receivables past 6 month due also doubled from 24 crore in FY24 to 49 crore in FY25. So now that half of the first half, half of FY26 is also over, I hope this receivable situation has improved somewhat.
It is very much improved. Even current year we have target to reduce our receivable days. Currently it is around 112 days, to reduce to around 100 to 103.
Okay, that's great. And last year our exports also declined by roughly 10% year on year. So this year, what is the outlook on exports?
We have explored in many areas like in Myanmar, in Nigeria, in South Africa also. So we expect we get increase in our export this year in total revenue.
Okay, and our exports are branded exports under our own brand, or are they like white labeling and contract manufacturing in some other brand?
90-95% is our own brand. Only 5 to 10% is their white label. If anyone required.
Right. And last question from my side. I can see that last year our sales discount went up drastically it increased 40% year on year, even though our sales were by and large, there was not much, it was like a 10% kind of growth in sales, but our sales discount went up by 40% to 172 crore, which is almost like over 10% of the top line. So why are we giving so much sales discount, and for current year, is the discounting still high, has increased or has decreased?
So in the current year it has not increased. Last year and the ongoing intensified competition in the market led to this extra discount which was given. But when you compare it with the other peer groups in the same segment, you'll find that we are much, much better off in terms of extra discounting that we had to offer in the market.
Right. And are we on track to become a zero debt company by FY28?
Yes, we are.
Okay, great. And also now with all these Zudio and all coming up with their highly discounted innerwear segment, so basically, have we launched some new SKUs, in the more price competitive segment, or have we vacated that segment and moved on to the premium segment? Like, how are we dealing with the new competition from Zudios and so on, the discounting that is happening over there?
See, currently, we are into innerwear segment. Mostly our sales are into innerwear. And some part of the sales comes from the athleisure segment, which are basic products, right? And currently we don't see any threat coming in from Zudio or likes of Zudio, because they are more focused in the outerwear segment instead of the innerwear segment. Secondly, we have a history of 50 years, right? And we have started this company with economy range of products. So we can't do away with the economy range of products, because it's the product segment which gives us volume, which gives us economies of scale, and it's for a price sensitive market. So we keep innovating new products, we keep launching new products in the premium segment, mid premium segment, in fact in the economy segment also, as per the market feedback and the consumer demand and everything. So currently, we don't see any threat coming in from that, but we are keeping a very sharp eye on the same thing as well, so that we are future ready if any impact comes from there.
Okay, great. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Moksh Ranka from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I wanted to understand your gross margin difference between the modern trade and the general trade, which includes the quick commerce and e-commerce. So could you just help me understand where there are better margins and what's the competitive scenario between the two?
So at a margin level, it's almost similar whether we deal in with general trade or e-commerce or quick commerce. So it's the overall the margin at a margin level, at a company realization level, it's almost similar.
Okay, because I was looking at e-commerce website and I see that many new age brands are getting very competitive when it comes to discounting, and so I think as a company we might also have to increase our discounting, especially in this festive period. So your gross margins accounting for that discount would be similar in the general and modern trade?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and what about the competitive scenario? So in your general trade, you have been established for the last 50 years. So your relationships with distributors would have been much better than new age brands. So is your foothold stronger in general trade as compared to modern trade? And that is your general trade could be your growth driver as far as volumes are concerned?
No, it would be a blend of two, because in the e-commerce segment also, when we talk about e-commerce marketplaces and the quick commerce as well. So last year we did around 80% of growth, and earlier it used to contribute around 3% of sales, but last year we crossed to 8.5% coming in from just e-commerce. And this year also we are seeing a very good growth coming in from e-commerce only.
And this growth we have achieved without compromising on our gross margins in e-commerce?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, and where do you see your growth? So most of your growth, incremental growth, do you see coming from quick commerce and e-commerce? And also, could you give me a breakup of your website sales? Like your direct to consumer, your website sales?
So currently our website sales are almost negligible, because we are focusing more on the marketplaces where the traffic is already there, the consumer footfall is already there, and we are currently planning to move ahead with performance marketing and create traffic, drive traffic towards our website also, but we have not started it yet.
Okay. And my last question is, I wanted to understand more talk about your ad spend. So you mentioned that 20% of your ad spend is basically digital spend. So the rest 80%, like where are we spending our ad spend exactly?
So mostly it's television. Secondly, it's retail branding and point of sales branding. We have this hoardings, newspaper ads. So all of these taken together constitute the other 80%, 75-80%.
Okay, so in future, are we focusing more on digital spends, and that as a percentage of our spends would increase, and our television holding fixed as a percentage would reduce? Is my understanding correct?
So every year we do increase our percentage spend on digital media. So this year, I think we will be spending around 25% of our total ad spend.
Okay, and just one last question from my side. So do we have a marketing agency tie-up, or are we doing it in-house, this ad spend?
So we are closely working with Loyal Intas Worldwide, which is a creative agency for the digital platform. We have a Digital Abhiyan, who is a well-known digital media company based out of Calcutta only, but he works pan-India with one of the big MNCs. So he's very well-versed with the digital world and optimize our overall ad spends also digitally.
Okay. Got it. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Resha Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon. So most of my questions have been answered. Just two. One is on the merger. So any one-time cost, material cost that we are looking at, maybe to KPMG or anything basically for this entire scheme of arrangement, which could probably impact our margins in the immediate short term?
No, there is no any such major cost involved. As there is only, we have to pay only 2% of the total merger fees to the court, and the rest of expenses with related to professional capacity only. So there is no such major cost.
Understood. And lastly, a business question, if I may. So, you know, the competitive pressures have been, you know, very high. So have we seen any easing out of the same, you know, as we've gone along in Q2?
So, won't be able to comment about Q2 as of now, but things have been pretty much same.
Okay, okay. Got it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We'll take our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor.
Namaskar, sir.
Namaskar.
Sir, if you could just give us some understanding of what has actually triggered this merger at this point of time and how long we have been working with the same and looking for the event, how have we prepared for it? Just to understand what triggered the merger today and how long we have been working for this.
So it has been in our thought process. But because of some technicality and some issues earlier, we were unable to move ahead with it. And from past 6-7 months, we have activated this particular project and now we are here proposing it and applying it.
If you're looking for our call records, in November 23 call, our MD Sri Vinod Gupta ji also answered the question with regard to merger and with regard to taking a brand in the company. So at that time we already try to complete the process within 2 years. As somehow there is some technical constraint is there, so that now it is possible that all the company are in same length and we complete the same within a stipulated period of time. So it is our process from the last 2-3 years, and very much there is. Some disturbance in the industry. Every investor, every minority shareholder required to gather any succession plan in the company. So with this merger, we also restructuring our succession plan, and our total majority shareholding from promoter is transferred to the trust, and then the all control is with the trust only. So there is a long term view.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Sir, can you just dwell further of the transfer of, I was coming to it, that 50% stake, I think so, would be transferred to the trust. So what is the thought process behind it? And currently, how is the company managed by professional or the second generation is being prepared to take the charge going ahead? If some color more, if you could give some more color on the same.
So we are working on a model which is a blend of professional plus the promoters, because we understand that a good blend can lead to higher growth and accelerated growth at a company level as well. Apart from that, hello.
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Please continue.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like we are the third generation who is. Has come into the business, but we do understand the importance of professionals on board, and without them you can't grow at an accelerated manner. So it would be a blend of the two, and as far as shifting 51% to a trust, it's basically to ensure that the interest of the company is given priority, as opposed to if any difference happens in the mindset of the promoters. So it's very like the interest of the company ahead. That's it.
Sir, two small points. Firstly, sir, you mentioned that...
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. There are other participants waiting for their turn. I request you to...
But I have been very brief, ma'am, in comparison to other participants. Anyway, it is your judgment.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to restrict to 2 questions at a time, please. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. We'll take our next question from the line of Prashant, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, is my voice audible?
Yeah, audible.
Yeah. So my first question related to merger is, are we seeing any benefit on account of tax, whether it is GST or any other because of the merger?
Basically all the companies are on the same tax rate, so there is no major. But you can say we can save GSTA because at the time of payment of rent, we have to pay the GST also. So that part of GST is saved. That is very negligible. Total rent amount is only 1.9 crore only.
Okay. And relating to this only, with this merger process, what will be the, because there is a large value of property involved, so will there be any stamp duty or estate duty or property related taxes involved?
It is only around 2-3% in Calcutta West, in West Bengal, for merger 2% of the duty is charged.
So value wise that would?
Around 2-3 crores only.
2-3 crores. And the second is, with the job work unit coming under the fold, do we see anticipate any increase in labor cost or employee cost on an overall basis?
No. Basically, we have to target to reduce the labor rate because at Manifold, our compliance cost is reduced. Many type of compliance, which is we have to done annually, is reduced. So we hope that it reduces the employee cost, not much, but ultimately reduce.
Okay. And any loss of incentive, state government or anything because of the merger or the change of the fiduciary relationships or anything?
No impact.
Okay. That's all from my side. Wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Shubhankar Gupta from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you just repeat the name of the digital marketing agency, Ankit?
So it's Digital Abhiyan that we work with.
Digital Abhiyan. Okay.
Yeah.
And last time we met, I think you mentioned that 20-25% of the manufacturing was from our own factory, capability-wise, right? So does doing this merger also increase that capacity?
Yes. Yes.
By how much?
Not much, because it would be adding only the stitching units that we have that will get merged into this. So it would be minuscule, but... it would be making 25-27%, 26% maybe.
Okay, not much. Fair enough. Actually, my main question, Ankit, was around the sales discounting. So I saw that the dealer incentives and schemes went from around 125 crores to 175 crores from last FY to this FY, right? So can you please detail this out? Like, what has this increase been? Like, what is the key reason for this increase? And how does this exactly work? This is, I think, one point that I'm not very clear. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, so this discounting has been because of the intensified competition which happened in Q3 and Q4 of last year, and mainly it's effect of Q4 only. So that's it, no other reason of increasing it.
No, but where exactly does this go? Like, it's a huge amount, right? Like, our own PAT is lesser than this amount. So my concern is that where does this amount exactly go? Okay, can you like break it down is what I'm asking.
So basically, if you're looking after, sir, our total percentage of scheme and discount is less than the peers. So in quarter four, there is some intensive competition in the industry. We have the new brand in our segment, and 6-7 brands, and they are heavy discounted at dealer's level. So for our share of market share, we have to incentivize to our distributor. If you're looking after the last year result, our 9-month EBITDA is more than 12%, but in quarter four it is reduced. So overall main impact is in quarter four only, and we are thinking that it is normalized within 2-3 quarters in current year.
Okay. Like, I'm not very, I'm sorry I'm asking this question again, but it is. Can you just detail this out, like how does one break this number down?
It is mainly scheme part only, because the discount already given in the bills itself, it is mainly the scheme part and incentive to the dealers when he complete the target. Like if it complete the target of 100%, it gives a 1% extra benefit. If it is target more than 110%, then it gets the 1.5% benefit. That is the scheme in our segment, actually, all over in the industry. That is the mainly
important part. Okay, but let's say, you know, you are having product Lakshya also, right? So if this amount is increasing so much, right, then what is the point? So Lakshya, say, organization to hold, like, it will become more structured. But then your cost is increasing at this phase, then what goodness does Project Lakshya has?
This is very beneficial for the Lakshya also. Our Lakshya royalty calculation is also included in the dealer incentive scheme also. The Lakshya, yes, this include also. And due to Lakshya, we have last year get more benefit in our growth than our peers. Because once the distributor is involved in Lakshya, he is associated lifetime for dollar only. Because he has to take the benefit through old performance and new performance. So at that area, we benefit in the Lakshya market.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. For any follow-up questions, you can reach out to the CFO and Investor Relations team. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you. Any closing comments? Yes, please go ahead.
On behalf of the promoter group and management team, I thank you once again for joining us today. We now wishing you and your families a very happy and prosperous Navratri. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.